This is Pants in the Boot, a podcast that has no truck with lorries. I'm your host, Glenn Fleischman, in Seattle, Washington. And joining me on this episode are Jean in Portland, Oregon, Annette in Edmonton, Canada, Erica also in Edmonton, Canada, Saskia in Glasgow, in Scotland, Shelley in Austin, Texas, Julia in Stockholm, Sweden, and Sarah in Auckland, New Zealand. I thought we could talk about literal pants, maybe trousers, bootcut trousers. I am fascinated by, as a fella, I'm fascinated by the number of, we have very boring pants names in men's styles of clothes, or so-called men's styles of clothes, right? We have pants, you know, there's shorts and pants and maybe a little bit else, right? But women's styles, I just love the fact that you have like clam diggers and pedal pushers and capri pants and all this. So what do you like to wear, and what do you call these various things? I assume there are regional differences among all of these different lengths and cuts.
I will say first, though, like I'm 5'6", which is perfectly average most places, but I am somehow also a dachshund. So a lot of these things are mostly theoretical for me, because most of these things would still be sock height. So like, depending, because the thing is also like, we can say capris, and I think most of us will have an idea of what that means, but that doesn't mean that stores always mean the same thing by capris,
because
capris
designers can be like
Mary Tyler Moore in the Dick Van Dyke Show is what I always
yeah.
think.
But they could be just under knee length, or they could be sort of mid-lower length, or they
yeah,
could
the
be...
fashion for that changes, because like right it's, now you wouldn't yeah. wear knee length capris, you'd wear longer capris. Mm.
Yeah, yeah, ankle length capris yeah. and that kind of stuff. Yeah, yeah.
I have the opposite problem as Julia, because I, you know, if I just buy quote unquote regular length trousers or pants, yeah, they do look like capris on me because I have such a long inseam.
Oh, funny.
Yeah, I'm 5 foot 10 and a half. My problem was always finding women's jeans that that didn't end up as capris on me.
Yep, exactly. So, yeah, mm-hmm. My husband is 6'4", and we can wear the same pants because my legs are freakishly long. His torso is.
This is bringing back a lot of childhood trauma, because as soon as Erica said, you know, want pants that are not capri length, you know, I thought, oh God, flood pants, we used to call them, like the pants.
Mm. And high waters?
High waters. Short
high waters.
High waters. And
flood pants, I haven't heard.
Oh, well, it's a thing. It was a thing. Florida, we had floods.
What are flood pants?
Well, if they're
flood pants compared to bell bottoms, what's the difference?
Nothing.
No. Flood
different
pants,
things.
High water.
I haven't even flood gotten to shorter. Bell bottoms yet.
Well, I'm sorry. Proceed on the taxonomy. Oh, I see.
No, I think flood pants, clam diggers, and high waters are all because they are sort of mid lower leg, so that
they're
you could,
epithets.
In theory, walk into
wade.
Water.
They're insults. There's a way to they are words you can tease other kids with or be teased with. Aww. So, and that's the first thing that popped into my head when Erica was talking about pants that aren't long enough, because definitely there was a length and above which it was not cool. But thinking about bell bottoms, which also goes back, you know, there's at the time, I think bell bottoms were like a 60s, not a style, because I'm sure they existed before, but just it came back in the 60s and with hippies and such. And the bell bottoms are pants, the ends of the legs are very wide. And whether they taper down wide or they taper out from a knee wide, those are details. But I didn't know what they were when I was a kid. I just kept hearing bell bottoms, bell bottoms. I would hear somebody say, oh, we got some bell bottoms, you know, for like my neighbor kid or what, you know, like other kids were getting bell bottoms. And in my mind, I pictured it as a dress that had bells on the bottom, because I was so deeply
that's,
uncool.
That's way nicer.
A jingle dress.
A like jingle dress.
For
yeah.
powwows.
Yeah. So once I did find out what they were, then I pretty much wore them exclusively through the 60s and 70s until I...
They had a revival in the 90s, too.
They
I had
did.
In the 90s.
Yeah. My parents, who were hippies, were absolutely like... They just did not know what to think of it. They were like, you kids, you don't know real bell bottoms. This is ridiculous. I had this pair that had like this cool painted dragon on like one of the legs, and they were just like, that's too fancy. And I was just like, I don't care, I'm wearing it.
Yeah, I went through like the bootcut jeans through the 90s and the aughts. So, but when we went to the 2010s, then I switched to skinnies and super skinnies.
Yeah, but there's a huge difference between bell bottoms and bootcut. Those are those are not the same kind of pants.
Yeah.
So for bell bottoms, do you ever use flares?
Was that a British?
Oh. I've heard that. Yeah,
flares. Flares are more flares are more like boot cut, which is wide enough to get over a boot, but not like extra 8 inches wide to look cool. You know.
Well, okay, so in the UK, I would have said the 70s. You know, really. What clearly you call bell bottoms, but in the UK we flares.
Yeah, we'd call them flares in New Zealand too.
I'm one of the truest millennials in that I became an adult at the millennium. I was born in 82, so I had both the revival of the bell bottoms slash flares and the bootcuts, and then the sort of JNCO style, very wide all the way from the thigh down pants. Mm-hmm. And
like I call that a palazzo pants.
Palazzo.
Like what, well, like the wide legs, like they're like and almost like a dress.
The palazzos don't come with like tons of extra straps and strips and chains and things. The
JNCOs they don't. These very they're specific. Like they're kind of like fancy pants.
And also almost all of them had to
there's Miss Fancy Pants over there.
Yes.
Almost all of them had to drag aggressively on the ground in the back and your parents God, would
despair. Get the ripped edge.
Yeah.
Then of course there's the other end of the pant.
The rise.
Which is, like the rise. So you've got like low rise, ultra low rise, mid rise, high waisted.
Thank God for high waisted.
Oh, I hate high waists.
I love high waist.
I despair the fact that the sort of need to go get a wax low rise is coming back in.
I know.
I'm not going to buy it or wear it.
That is not a good thing from the 90s.
I am so much more comfortable.
Generation Z, we saved you from
this. You know
this.
What we call this?
We used to kill it.
We called those hip huggers. I mean, that.
Yeah, my hips are so wide that I can't handle. I cannot
Same.
Handle.
No way.
I have to have low rise jeans because there are no high rise jeans that actually curve to fit me. I feel like I am like it's either way too wide or I am absolutely trapped. Like I'm so much more comfortable in not necessarily like the super low rise. I don't necessarily want my underwear to be hanging out, but I want a low, you know, something that's riding low on the hips so that I don't have like it's got to be below my belly button, man. Otherwise I am just like, no thank you.
Whereas I'm like hate pulling up my pants all the time. It's like you're walking along hoist.
Oh, see
pants.
That's the opposite for me. When I'm wearing low-rise pants I don't have to constantly hoist them up, but for some reason when I'm wearing a pants that go higher I'm always having to adjust them.
Well, I think it's often has to do with the proportion and sort of slope between both natural waist, high waist,
body
and
size
hip.
And shape,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah, probably if I could find a pair of higher rise jeans or any kind of pants that actually like fit me right, I wouldn't have to adjust them all the time. I guess I'm just not I'm not the typical shape for those types of pants.
Nobody is the typical shape.
Nobody is. Yeah, God,
the perfect jean doesn't exist.
I went through a whole decade of any time we traveled to the US, I would buy my jeans in Gap, a particular high-rise model, which they no longer do, which would actually fit me because I have wide hips, narrow waist, and it would actually fit without, you know, having half the waist at the back sticking out, you know.
Yes,
several inches. So I would always buy my. But that's the one time I could buy jeans that actually fitted me. If when we traveled to the US, and I would go to.
I want to kind of do like a PSA pants, no boot. Here that like everyone, you are not the problem. Your body is not wrong. The clothes are not made for your shape and or size or proportions, because like this is such a collective trauma with all clothes, but specifically jeans.
Yeah.
I can tell you a funny Swedish word for also around the millennium pants when you had the ones that were sometimes flared and or bell bottomy but were fairly tight, fairly thin, stretchy material, which was that we called them mumble pants because you could see the lips moving, but you couldn't hear anything.
Well, and in the pandemic, we got that wonderful word soft pants, which is just like sweats and things that we wear at our house.
When I went to Australia, I learned the term butt cleavage.
Mm. Oh, yeah. Butt cleavage. Occasionally I pulled on a pair of guys' pants and like the size of the pockets are just
amazing.
You can fit a whole
fit a phone in there.
I had a pair of pants one where they were normal, sort of normal jeans they seemed like, and the pocket went down to the knee practically. But you didn't know it when you bought it. So it was kind of like, whoa. And then we have the impenetrable watch pocket for part, even on modern jeans. You're like, I don't even understand what that was ever
Glenn,
for.
Glenn, you don't get to complain about pockets. I'm just going
to
say.
I'm not complaining about pockets. I swear to God. I swear to God, I'm not complaining about pockets.
Yeah, like I said, I can share pants with Steven, and that has worked out great because he's, you know, we sometimes order stuff online, and if he doesn't like it, then I can take his cast offs. And it's just like the first time when you try on a pair of jeans, stick your hands in the pocket to make sure that the pocket material is laid flat against your thighs, and my hands just kept going, and I was like, what is happening here? And yeah, I wear those jeans a lot. It's great.
But they have the boyfriend cut jean, and then like the boyfriend cut jean, which is like a boy's cut jean made for women, but you know what doesn't carry over is the pockets.
What is the pockets? I've got a friend, Erin McKean, who's wrote an essay for a publication I edited years ago about pockets, and she's a big sewer of pockets into things that she owns. And what is it? What is it? Just a cultural? Is it like some kind of
women,
you know,
should not own property?
Is it just the patriarchy?
Yes.
Super interesting article about that.
Not even small property.
No, it's a combination of you want to sell expensive purses, and you don't want them to carry seditious materials, and you don't want it to ruin the lines of and I'm just like, fuck lines. F lines. Give me pockets.
Well, and they're often, even ones that have pockets, they're sold with them closed.
Yes, sewed closed.
Or they're about 2 inches long. Yes. And you're like, my phone is still sticking out of my pants. Why is my phone not in my actual pocket?
Yeah. Glenn, you have no idea that the...
I do. I live with somebody who has had strong opinions about pants who could be on this episode and has enjoyed the fact that eBay, at least, and some other of the online stores like Poshmark and so forth, that she has, I think, Saskia, she'd prefer pants of the kind that you like and that are often discontinued. You go through those waves of not being able to get, you know, like high riser and mid rise jeans. And so the fact that eBay exists makes that a little bit more tolerable. The related thing we encountered as parents too is it's a little bit parallel, is that everything for children is blue or pink. It's as if it was just like everything's been sprayed with that. And my wife at one point is like, I need to start a clothing line that's all like yellow and green and red. Mm-hmm. But it's that same sort of like this enforced clothing hegemony.
Little girls' trousers in the same size as little boys' trousers, and this can be both like sizes like numbers or letters or the sort of supposedly like centimeter long. Women or girls, little girls' trousers will be tighter and shorter, not just smaller, but like tighter in the legs. Ooh. They're not made to like play in and roughhouse in. Ooh. And the shirts are also often, again, same size, they'll be smaller, they'll be shorter, they'll be tighter. So it's not just the like, I want a girl's shirt to have a dinosaur on it. It's like, I want a girl to be able to move. Sorry, this was also a bit of a side, but I mean, it's the same with women's trousers. Often the sizing is a whole other, I mean, that's
so amazing. Yeah. Don't get me started
that's,
on sizing.
That's 84 episodes of Pants in the Pants. but just like also the way that the idea of the boyfriend cut is just like, these are somewhat comfortable jeans and like, and they have to be like man cut. I mean, it's also hilarious because when people are like, you can share jeans with your boyfriend, they're gonna be comfortable, I'm like, I can pull my husband's legs or pants up to my knees if I'm lucky, because he is a tall Viking and I was built to, you know, pull the plow if the horse died. So it's not gonna happen. But I wish there were like husband jeans instead of mom jeans and boyfriend jeans. That would be really funny. I'm trying to decide what that model will be.
Well, you know, I appreciate this conversation going on without a need for me to intervene with any of my... yes.
We blame you for pocket foibles and all of the...
Yes,
it's all your fault, Glenn.
It's entirely your fault. It's an educational an experience, and I will lobby for pockets so that you can carry... It's like what the pamphlets for the suffrage pamphlets were too long, right? So you had to make pockets that wouldn't fit the pamphlets in it. Sounds like Julia, that was the that was the intent. But
I will say, as someone who sews a lot of my own clothes, it's all, when someone gives me a compliment, I'm always torn between what to say first. Is it thanks, I made it myself, or thanks, it has pockets, and then you have to do like the pocket dance. and like shove your hands in there and like open up the skirt to be like pockets.
There's pockets. Well, thank you for this episode of Pants in the Pants in the Boot Cut. And thank you to Jean, Annette, Erica, Saskia, Shelley, Julia, and Sarah for being on this series of shows. This has been Pants in the Boot. I've been your host, Glenn Fleischman, here in Seattle, in Ecotopia. And thanks to Chris Breen for our theme music, as always. If you have suggestions that you might want us to talk about for future episodes, you can write us at pants@theincomparable.com. That's right, pants@theincomparable.com. You can also join us over at theincomparable.com. And I mean that in actuality. Become a member and you get access to our member discussion Slack, where you can talk about all manner of things, including, you know, muesli and bootcut jeans and all kinds of stuff. Enjoy the company of your fellow nerds. We're all nerds there. We're all having a great time. Go to theincomparable.com/members to find out more about that and special member bonuses and episodes that you get before they air on the main feed. Thanks so much, and we'll be back again in the future.
Also, it occurred to me that the Swedish word for pocket, ficka, is easy to confuse with the C word, fitta, which also means that if you accidentally stutter, you get a lot of weird, bad blooper clips from like news shows and stuff.